speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's face it, the disciples were very brave to remain in Jerusalem. Many people in Jerusalem today are very afraid for a very good reason. Two angels said to them, "Men of Galilee, why stand gazing up into heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way as you have seen him go there." 40 days had now passed since the resurrection, and you know they were getting rather accustomed to Jesus coming and going in ways that were both strange and ordinary at the same time. He came to them in the upper room. He joined them on the road to Emmaus. He ate breakfast with them after each, and each time he vanished. So what's different this time? Well, notice they are given two promises. First, they would receive great power and very soon. Second, that Jesus would come again in triumph when the whole earth would become responsive to his love. The ascension, as strange as it seems, is a very spatial event. There is a whole lot of movement. There is departure, and there is return, and there is expectation, and there is wondering and watching and waiting. Artists have spent an awful lot of time depicting this event in various ways. At St. James Cathedral, just down the road, the window over the high altar depicts the ascension of the Lord. In some ancient churches, when you look up to the ceiling, you can see the bottom of 2 feet, as if Jesus is being lifted right from our sight. There is that marvelous work by Albrecht Dürer, where he looks something like a missile shooting up into space. And then the rendition which I saw recently by Salvador Dali, where he's being drawn dramatically through a ray of light into a whole other dimension. Whatever way it happened, the scriptures are clear and the creeds affirm that Jesus ascended back to the right hand of the Father sometime after his various Easter appearances. And with that ascension, he takes something with him. That is, the suffering of the world, the marks of which are the wounds in his hands, feet, and side. In all accounts, except for St. Luke, the resurrection of Christ and his first appearing in his risen glory take place on or near the first Easter day. St. Luke places the events clearly on a timeline, culminating in the symbolic 40th day after Easter, when he records the ascension, and then the 50th day, the already established Jewish day of Pentecost. Well, what is the ascension? It is quite simply the assertion of Christ's kingship, the affirmation of Christ's power and authority over the whole world, indeed over the entire cosmos. Is it any wonder this caught the disciples off guard? Is it any wonder it has occupied the minds of theologians and artists down through the ages? In a world like this, where fear and violence confront us daily, That assertion needs to be made with vigor in the face of fatigue, with hope in the face of despair, and with renewed courage to continue the battle against the dehumanizing forces of the world. The Ascension makes enormous claims on us, as it did on the first disciples. For it is to be followed next week by Pentecost, the gift of the Spirit, the power to be the Lord's people, the Lord's very body, in and for the sake of the world. So everything, absolutely everything, is to be put under the Lord's dominion. The affirmation of Christ's ascension is that he really is in control of the world. He's got the whole world in his hands. There is no suffering that he does not suffer and take with him to the Father. There is no depth which his paschal victory does not redeem. No area of life untouched by his love and by his authority. The Ascension is the yearly reminder that our calling as his disciples here and now is to put everything under obedience to Christ, which is maybe just another way of saying it's our job to try to help make the world and its institutions and its people, ourselves, more truly and fully human, like Jesus himself. It is a tall order. And yes, we will fail. Yes, we will get tired and weary. Yes, we may never achieve fully the gospel hopes towards which we set our sights and align our lives. While that has ever been the case, we must see that in every age, the people of God, in their rich diversity and dedication, have contributed to the way of love as taught and lived out by Jesus of Nazareth. That way of love must be our way as well, if we are indeed to carry his name. And so we look for the final day when God will bring in a new heaven and a new earth. And in the meantime, you and I have a mission to seek Christ and to make him known in every single corner of life. And let us not forget, he is marked with the scars of his suffering and death. The pains of the world are actually raised in glory with him to the right hand of the Father, which affirms that God, in his abundant mercy, draws the whole world unto himself and makes all things new. Priest and poet Malcolm Gate writes this in his lovely poem, Ascension Day. We saw his light break through the clouds of glory, whilst we were rooted still in time and place, as earth became a part of heaven's story, and heaven opened to his human face. We saw him go, and yet we were not parted. He took us with him to the heart of things, the heart that broke for all the brokenhearted, is whole and heaven-centered now, and sings in the strength that rise out of weakness, sings through the clouds that veil him from our sight, whilst we ourselves become his cloud of witness and sing the waning darkness into light, his light in us and ours in him concealed, which all creation waits to see revealed. Thanks be to God.